Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Well, whether it be through a needle or being radiated by some bizarre machine, I'm real fortunate I don't have to go through either of those experiences right now, but a lot of your family members are right now. And Ty Bollinger is with us, and he wrote a book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. We're going to have to take a closer look at what could be the number one killer in America today, the mainstream medical establishment, what they have deemed to be safe. So, Ty, what do you think about the power of thought, its effect on the body when, I mean, there's that old joke about, or age of wisdom, that comes from the story or the parable about the person that goes to the doctor, says they have 6 months to live, not actually dying in 6 months, but having a different outcome, a different reality based on how long they think they're going to live, or some people believing the doctor and maybe helping contribute the process of dying at a quicker rate. It's the old, you know, piece of wisdom as what you think is going to happen to you, based on what you fear, it could manifest if you agree with that outcome.
You know, let me address that initially from the fact that if a doctor says you got 6 months to live and you take the chemo, he's probably right. So a lot of the deaths are caused by the treatments themselves. Now, as far as if I were diagnosed with cancer, I would definitely do more than think that I was going to get better. But at the same time, I agree that it is extremely important to keep a positive mental attitude when you're diagnosed. There are multiple treatments that work very well on all types of cancer. So the first thing I would do is to research, if I hadn't already written a book, if I were someone else that didn't know, I would research and become empowered with knowledge, because knowledge is what you need in a situation like this. You don't need to go home and to fret, because there are different studies that have shown that somehow that damages cellular DNA. And now, if that's the case, if the negative thoughts do damage cellular DNA, then I can see a direct relationship between that and the progression of cancer, because that's what cancer is. Cancer is a result of cellular DNA that has been damaged and has changed its respiratory or energy-making mechanism from being aerobic to anaerobic. So if that's the case, I can see a big correlation with the way that you think and your health. Because cancer cells, as I said, they produce energy anaerobically, which is without oxygen. Cancer cells ferment sugar. Otto Warburg, who was a doctor back in 1932, received the Nobel Prize for this theory that cancer cells produce energy differently than non-cancerous cells. And so if you've got cancerous cells all over your body, anaerobic cancerous cells that are fermenting sugar to burn energy, you've got a problem. And look at this, Alex. We've got a society here, especially in America, that drinks Coke all the time, sodas all the time. Now, you might hear that and think that's just benign, it's just a drink. No, it's not. Coca-Cola, soda, besides the fact that it's just nothing more than phosphoric acid, it lowers your pH level in your body tremendously. And this causes cells to change their respiratory mechanism when you have a low pH, an acidic pH in your body. So you've got a huge correlation. I mean, you go to the store and you see these guys that have, it looks like a gallon of Coke they're going to drink that day. Man, their body is working overtime all day long just to buffer those acids in order to keep their blood at a pH level of about 7.2 so they don't drop dead. And how does your body buffer acids? It buffers acids through pulling alkaline reserves from the rest of your body, the other cells in your body, to go to your blood. And when that happens, your cells are in an acidic state, and that's where cancer starts. So you hear people say, oh, it's no big deal, I'm just drinking a few sodas. It's a huge deal. Get off soda.
Let's go into the whole thing about oxygenation and bringing it to the body and taking a look at how a body that's kind of depleted of oxygen running through the cells and different parts of the body can be a dangerous thing. It's something that I heard Horowitz talk about, and I've been thinking a bit about that and how acidic we are as a result of our diet, and like you say, sodas and things like coffee.
Mm-hmm.
How does that play a part?
Yeah, you know, one of the best protocols that I describe in the book is called the Budwig diet, and it's based on that principle of oxygenating the cells. Dr. Johanna Budwig was a 7-time Nobel nominee, and she did research back about 50 years ago, I think it was in the 1950s actually, into the roles of essential fatty acids, right? And, you know, today, most of the fats that we eat are hydrogenated. They've been chemically altered. We call them trans fats. The reason they've been chemically altered is so they'll have a longer shelf life. And so there's more money into the pockets of the oil industry and the fat industry. But she called these fats pseudo-fats. And basically what happens, she learned that these pseudo-fats that we intake, they stick to the cell membranes and they cause them to malfunction. Okay, and so she believed that these hydrogenated fats, they shut down the electrical field of the cells, and that causes defective cell growth, and it makes it susceptible to chronic disease like cancer. So she came up with a theory that cancer was not the result of too much cell growth, which is popular today, that it's overgrowth of cells, but it was defective cell growth or cell division. It was caused by the combination of too many pseudo fats and too few healthy fats. So what she did is she developed a diet, which is called the Budwig diet, which combines two foods to transport oxygen into the cells. And those two foods are cottage cheese or yogurt and flaxseed oil. As weird as it sounds, the combination of those two, when you mix them together, they push oxygen into the cell. Basically what happens is you've got very high high in sulfur proteins in the cottage cheese or the yogurt. And then you've got a very high omega-6 fatty acid in the flaxseed oil. When you stir those together or blend them up, the oil becomes water-soluble and is able to go through the cell wall and to produce oxygen in that cell. And as a result of that, it's able to turn cells which were cancerous, that had their metabolic process changed, turn them back into normal differentiated cells. So it's really an amazing diet. Tons of people are getting cured using this diet. My friend Bill Henderson, who is in North Carolina, he's also written a book on cancer. This is the staple of his protocol, is the Budwig diet. And he's literally worked with thousands of people to cure their cancer eating cottage cheese and flaxseed oil. And so this is something that anyone can afford. You don't have to have medical insurance for this. So you can go down to the store and get these products and mix it yourself. And a lot of people are having great success with this. So you had mentioned earlier in the show, you know, a lot of people are unfortunate because they don't have health insurance. I would say in the case of cancer, you're probably more fortunate if you don't have health insurance, because if you do, the only treatments that are approved are going to be the big three, and they're going to kill you.
So it seems, other than the power of thought, you're left with definitely the food choices, what you're taking in, and of course, exercise. We can always look towards exercise, and there's a lot of ways that keep ourselves in motion.
Yeah,
it keeps the cells growing, and the rebirth process on a second-to-second basis alive, which our cells are actually going through. They're dying, and they're recreating themselves. Okay, Tom in Michigan. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, pretty good. I got a question. I had a colonoscopy, and they found 7 polyps, and one was ADENOMA, and it was precancerous. And I was wondering, they took 7 polyps out, and they said that it was precancerous. Is there any way you can stop polyps from growing?
Basically, polyps. Some polyps grow into cancerous tumors. Some don't.
Well, one was precancerous. That's why I wanted to know if there's any way you can stop, you know, the polyps from growing.
Okay. What you have to keep in mind is that doctors are brainwashed, public's brainwashed into thinking that tumors are necessarily bad. Okay. So your doctors are always there in this tumor tizzy, worrying about polyps growing into cancerous tumors, and so on. A tumor cannot be made out of exclusively cancer cells any more than you make a house completely out of oil, okay?
Uh-huh.
Cancer cells don't form tissue. There's no way that a tumor can be made out of specifically cancer cells alone. So you've got cancer cells residing in some tumors. Basically, a tumor is the body's internal mechanism to seal off the cancer. Okay, the problem that you face sometimes with getting biopsies is that you get the cells are being sliced, and biopsies oftentimes cause metastasis of the cancer. They cause the spreading of cancer.
And oh my God!
So, not to rain on your parade here, but I'm not a doctor, so I can't recommend treatment. I can't give advice, but if it were me, I would never have biopsies done because biopsies have been shown to spread cancer.
I wish I'd talked to you before this because I didn't know that.
Yeah, I understand.
See, colon cancer runs in my family. My grandpa and grandma both died of it, and my uncle had it, and my aunt had it, and I, you know, so that kind of bothers me a lot.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Here, this isn't medical advice because I can't do that, but if it were me, what I do, you do a full-body detox. You've got toxic. Everyone is toxic. We have toxicity through our whole system. You do a full-body detox. You do a colon detox, a colon cleanse, a kidney cleanse, a liver cleanse, a gallbladder cleanse, a blood cleanse. There's specifics on how to do those cleanses in my book, or you can go on the Internet and find them.
Okay. I will listen, but I was just worried. Now I'm more worried because I don't want, you know, my grandpa had a colon bag.
Take
a colon out.
Yeah, ileostomy.
Yeah, they both died, you know, quite young, and now I'm more worried.
Well, don't lose heart, don't be worried, but get out there on the Internet and get information about this, because cancer does not have to be a death sentence, okay?
Oh,
if you have knowledge, you can beat it. And also, one more thing about the inherited thing. There's been studies that have done. I do not believe that cancer is genetic at all. So let that be a load off your mind. They've done studies with identical twins, and you would think that if one twin had cancer, the other should have cancer. That's not the case. They've done studies on over 90 identical twins in one case about 15 years ago, and one had it, the other didn't. So if anybody, if it was genetic, if it was based upon a certain DNA, they should both have had it. And so I'm convinced that cancer is not genetic. Now, that being said, sometimes it appears to be genetic, maybe because you live in the same place with your family, right? And so you're being exposed to the same toxins. You're eating the same foods. You're maybe exposed to the same radiation. If you look at Chernobyl, a place that you've had a nuclear blast. So there are things that certain family members might be exposed to the same toxins in those situations.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And I've been on pain medicine since my car accident in 82 and, you know, different drugs.
Right. Right, and then here's the thing.
That doesn't help, does it?
No, if you've been on pain medicine, especially things like Lortab hydrocodone, the first thing that those pain medications do when you get them in your system is they shut down your colon immediately. Okay.
Oh my God, I'm on that too.
Yeah, that's what probably is the source of the problem, is that it's shutting down your colon and you're not processing the food, you're not eliminating the food, and you got all these toxins that are in there. So. You know, that might be the first start to get off the pain medication, do a good colon cleanse. But, you know, like I said, I don't want to be thought of as a doctor here. I can't prescribe medication.
I know that. I'll get off the thing and list you things so I can write the name of your book down, your name and stuff, because I think I'm going to get it.
Yeah, tell you what.
Right.
Ty,
do you have a website? Do you have an official website? I'm sorry.
Yeah. My website is cancertruth.net.
That's okay, I will get on that right now.
Yeah, get on there and my email's on there, and shoot me an email if you want to. I'll be glad to go back and forth with you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless.
God bless
you,
man.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Tom. And I was listening there on the sideline. I was definitely learning a lot in the process and coming up with actually more questions for you. But we got a break coming up, and Brian's been patiently holding. Hi, Brian. Brian, are you with us?
I'm with you. You can hear me?
Okay, you're up. Yep, you're coming through loud and clear.
Thanks, guys. I didn't catch your guest's name, but I identify with a lot of what you're saying. For the last caller who inspired me to call in, I would love to suggest, and maybe your guest knows of David Christopher, or the late Dr. Christopher, and the School of Natural Healing out of Utah. They publish a book specifically oriented towards colon cancer. I believe it is Dr. Christopher's Guide to Colon Health. And he does go into how, you know, we're toxic and we're overly acidic. And he does recommend, you know, a whole food, fresh fruit juice cleanse. He is a little bit bit opposed to dairy in general, and, you know, heavy consumption of meat. That's something else to watch out for. But, you know, I would love to at least suggest to your guest that he checks out the School of Natural Healing and the Christophers, who are excellent herbalists, if you're not aware of them already.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Dr. Christopher. He's an excellent physician. Written a tremendous book on that on colon health. Also the Gerson Institute out in California. The late Dr. Max Gerson. Very similar protocols. A lot of juicing, a lot of fresh fruits, a lot of colon cleanses. My good friend Dr. Daryl Wolf out of Canada. The same protocols. So a lot of these guys that are very well renowned, they all use the same protocols, very similar protocols. They all start with cleansing the colon because that's where toxicity generally begins.
I want to talk to you in a little bit about fasting, detoxifying, and juicing. All those things myself, I'm very interested in, Ty. But when we come back, we have Richard from Texas and Jeffrey in Kentucky. We'll have their questions first. Back in just a few.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network. It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
One of the things that makes Bruce Lipton popular is his background as a stem cell researcher, scientist, who was literally destroying the nucleus, or what he thought was the nucleus of the cell, because he wanted to know what was directing the cell's behavior after the destruction of that nucleus. And then he learned that there were factors in the environment, the external environment and the internal environment, that were directing the cell's behavior. And so this is something that fascinates me, because it shows us that thought, that whether it be our thoughts or external thoughts or influences, affect the cellular behavior, thus even the human mind and body. And so you take a look at it, and it kind of challenges you to be responsible for your own thoughts and how you view yourself and your ability to heal yourself of a disease. Ty, did you ever get a chance to look at any of his research at all, Bruce Lipton?
No, you know what? I'm not familiar with him, but yeah, I'll check him out.
Okay, yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. He really got popular, I think, over the course of the last 2 years since his book and DVD came out. All right, okay. We'll talk to Richard in Texas.
Hey, guys, this is a great show. Thank y'all for bringing really important information out to a lot of people. I had the misfortune of watching my father and my wife die of cancer and chemo and radiation treatment. He gave my wife radiation treatment, saying all signs of cancer were gone. You'll take this 6 months of preventative radiation, and after that was done, she was dead 6 weeks after that. It's all just a big scam. But in any case, you know, the role of enzymes is so important, and you guys have been speaking about that. And I think it's important for people to know, too, that we reduce our metabolic enzymes, you know, by way of use for digestion of cooked foods. And to take an enzymes on an empty stomach can be very helpful in reestablishing metabolic enzymes, which work in your blood and all that stuff, as you probably know. Also, the role of oxygen is just as critical as it can be. And I'm wondering if either of you have ever heard of a product called Cell Food. It's pretty amazing technology. It's was invented probably 45 years ago by a guy who worked in the invention of nuclear fission triggers. He himself got radiation sickness working at Oak Ridge, I think it probably was, and decided after he saw what bad uses nuclear technology were put to make it for the benefit of mankind, he developed a isotope of hydrogen called, I think it's deuterium or something. Deuterium sulfate is what he makes, and it actually breaks apart the oxygen and hydrogen atoms within water, leaves a negatively charged oxygen item that can go in and pull out free radicals and oxygenate you, alkalize you, pull out lactic acid. And in addition to that, this product called Cell Food has ionic enzymes, all of them, all of the minerals except for the bad ones in ionic form, and all of the amino acids. It's just wonderful stuff. And, you know, it was kind of kept in a very low profile for years and years. Information's available at LuminaHealth.com. I'm not in the business of making money about this stuff.
Sure.
But I'm just very impressed with what it does and how it works.
Yeah, Richard, first of all, I'm sorry for your loss. I can completely relate to you, losing multiple family members to cancer. And you are also correct when you speak about the enzymes. The metabolic enzymes in our body that our pancreas secretes, our pancreatic enzymes, they are, with our heavy milk, heavy meat diets, they're busy all the time digesting proteins. And so as a result, you're absolutely correct. A good digestive enzyme is essential because your pancreatic enzymes are busy. Instead of eating up the protein around cancer cells, which God put them there to do, they're digesting all the protein that you're eating every meal.
There's all sorts of other nasty proteins around, too, that they take care of. You know, it's one of the reasons that a lot of animals know not to eat when they're sick, because they don't want to pull their enzymes away instinctively to do the work they're doing to heal them inside.
Yeah, they a lot of animals do have it instinctively. You're absolutely correct. That's why dogs and bears and wolves have been seen to eat, to gnaw on grass that's high in nitrilicides or vitamin B17 when they are sick with cancer, because they know instinctively that that heals them of the cancer. B17 is an amazing treatment. But back to your Cell Food. Yeah, I'm familiar with Cell Food. I've received numerous emails from people that have been using it with good success. So, yeah, it's not a treatment that I was familiar with when I wrote the book or when I did the second edition. But it's definitely a very successful treatment that a lot of people are using. And it not only helps to heal cancer, it actually helps just with general overall health. People say that they feel tremendous taking the Cell Food.
It's good for athletic performance. It's also an excellent detoxer. You know, it just works on so many different levels. And it's just something that, again, I've got no financial interest in telling about it, but just feel like it's really vital information for people.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cheap, too.
It's a great product. It won't be long until they can shut it down or kick them out of the country.
No doubt, the way things are going.
Yeah.
Thanks for a great show, guys.
Thanks, Richard.
Bye.
Well, thanks, Richard. You know, and it's funny you guys just said that about kicking somebody out of the country, because I was just going to say that when I was at the presentation of Dr. Leonard Horowitz, where he discussed alternative treatment, ways to oxygenate the body to heal it, he was talking about one particular piece of technology that a man had invented that would flush the body of oxygen with new oxygen. It would flush the cells. And the technology was confiscated, and the person was literally just about escorted outside of the country. And I don't know all the details, but there's lots of little stories like this. Weird little, you know, men in black of the FDA type stories in our history about people that have developed things that, for some reason or another, they were forced to not use it anymore, to not experiment with anymore. There's some people that said they can cure AIDS, I think, from this device through oxygen back in the 80s. That they were involved in this, that were forced to relocate to other countries. So whether that technology was actually something that was real or not, you know, there are a lot of phonies out there. But whether that's real or not, how do we know when someone's just completely pushed out of the country and there's no deeper investigation into it? All it does, in my eyes, is raise greater suspicion as to why that person was asked to leave.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. As a matter of fact, if someone is run out of the country for using a treatment that the FDA has not approved, you can guarantee that treatment was being successful. The FDA is not worried about non-successful treatments. They're worried about protecting their cash cow. And when someone's curing cancer with herbs or with natural foods or with other products, nutritional supplements, the FDA will have them on their radar. And, you know, the only reason that I can talk about cures on the radio with you right now for cancer is because I don't sell vitamins, I don't sell superfoods, I don't sell supplements. I make no money from any nutritional products. So I can, at least for now, despite the Patriot Act and the other things that have been passed, we still have freedom of speech, at least for now. And so I can talk about this on the radio because I don't make any money from selling products. But I guarantee you something. You start treating people with these products or you start selling them on the website, and if you start making claims, truthful claims, that they actually help with cancer, you will be on the FDA's radar. I mean, if you talk about, there's so many stories of doctors that have been run out of the country. And Jimmy Keller is a doctor that was, he operated an alternative cancer clinic in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he was forced out of the country to Tijuana, Mexico. He had founded a clinic using natural methods that he had used himself to cure his terminal cancer. He had basically been mutilated by radiation surgery. And after, this is typical, after the big three, after he had used chemo, radiation, and surgery, the cancer returned with a vengeance. Okay, this is very typical because it causes a temporary remission, and then the cancer comes back because your immune system is so devastated. So he moves.
It comes back even stronger than ever before.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk to Jeffrey. Thanks for holding on the line there, Jeffrey. We'll talk to him. When we come back, I do want to talk about juicing. What is taking place in the body when we're drinking raw juice? And then from there, you know, there are a variety of what they call power foods that seem almost by nature designed to protect us from something called cancer.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
We're just here another Saturday looking at how to survive the world of tomorrow, where we have to look towards ourselves and our own knowledge, the knowledge of those around us, for information as to heal ourselves from viruses, other forms of cancer, disease. Again, we have to look at what this word means, dis-ease of what? A lot of it starts in the mind. In the future, again, we have to understand, like, the science of our bodies. A lot of people don't know that. Don't know, like, the damage of eating candy bars on a regular basis or eating pizza on a regular basis, about the depletion of nutrients from our body, naturally occurring enzymes. I mean, you look at, you know, how we radiate our own food through microwaves, and a lot of people don't question it still. And I want to go to Jeffrey, but real quick, time, what do you think about microwaves in general?
Microwaves are horrible. We don't use a microwave. They put off radiation. I mean, tests have shown that up to 30 feet away, you're getting radiated when you turn on a microwave. So not only is it microwaving the food, it's radiating your food, but it's radiating you while the machine's on. So horrible for you.
Jeffrey, thanks for holding on. How you doing?
All right, sir. Not too bad so far. Hey, this is a question for your guest. He probably ain't going to be able to answer it, but so I'm a VA patient, and I've been back from Iraq for about 3 years now. And ever since I left Iraq, or while I was in Iraq also, I started losing not only bowel control, but proper bowel movement. And in November of 2006, I was hospitalized for intense intestinal pain in the VA in Nashville. And the way they fixed this, and they didn't tell me what was wrong with me, was they gave me dicyclamine and Zantac. And then in December of 2007, I went down to a virus of unknown origin that put me in stage one kidney failure for 3 days. And after being hospitalized for about a week, my kidney function kicked back in, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be on this medication for the rest of my life or what the problem is, or they won't even tell me what it is. I've got a couple of ideas of what it was, but you know, I'm just looking for answers on how to fix it. You know what I mean?
Let me make sure I understand the question. So you're on medication still for intestinal pain, for stomach pain?
Intestinal pain, stomach pain, and also abnormal bowel function.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of the drugs. I'm not familiar with the side effects.
The dicyclamine itself, from what my dentist is telling me, is causing my teeth to rot out, but other than that, I'm not sure what it does. From what I understand, it's a smooth muscle relaxer that works on your intestine.
Okay. Yeah. It reminds me of a lady that I knew in New Zealand. She was having an intense stomach pain a lot of the same symptoms that you're talking about. And her doctors had been looking at her for about 3 months. They had diagnosed her with stomach cancer, and said that basically there's nothing they could do to help her with the pain. And so she asked me what she should do. She read the book, and she said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, I'm not a doctor, but it sounds to me like you need some digestive enzymes." So she began taking digestive enzymes for her severe stomach pain. She was literally bedridden, couldn't leave her house.
Yeah.
For 6 months. And she started taking these digestive enzymes, and the next Sunday, like 4 or 5 days later, she came up to me at church and she said, "You know what? I went out and worked in the yard yesterday for the first time in 6 months." So just an anecdotal story, but a lot of stomach problems, a lot of stomach pains are caused by digestive enzymes, the lack of digestive enzymes.
Well, one of the hazards I ran into is I was exposed to depleted uranium while I was in Iraq, and
right.
I've got a feeling that's got something to do with it. But also, when I eat, the food, when it comes out, is almost in the same texture and shape that it is when it went in on several occasions.
Okay. Yeah. The depleted uranium is America's dirty little secret. The people don't know about depleted uranium. You know, the government sent our guys, and you included, and I thank you for your service to the country, but they sent you over there exposed to these depleted uranium munitions, and it's caused all kinds of problems and havoc with people's immune systems and with different diseases. So that is that is one of the problems. But the digestive enzymes are going to take that food and they're going to help it change form. They are going to digest the food. Vitalzyme is the best digestive enzyme out there. VitalZym. It is the best digestive enzyme. It's the only one, to my knowledge, that contains serrapeptase, which is a fibrinolytic. It actually dissolves scar tissue within your system. It will digest anything. And so I did a test on Vitalzyme one time, and I took some oatmeal, and I put it in a cup. And I did it in the same thing in another cup. So I had oatmeal in two different cups. In one of the cups, I opened up one Vitalzyme cap, and I took it out of the capsule and sprinkled it in there, and I stirred it with the oatmeal. The other I left alone. I went back 2 hours later to the cups of oatmeal. The one that didn't have the digestive enzyme, I turned it upside down, and the oatmeal was still in the cup. It wouldn't even fall out. It was rock solid. The one that I had put the digestive enzyme, the Vitalzyme, in, was a pure liquid. This stuff works. It really helps to digest foods. That may be one of your problems.
Well, right now I'm in the middle of trying to get my nursing degree, and I started researching some of this stuff. And it kind of started making sense to me that there was something wrong with my enzymatic tract and my digestive tract. Because, like I said, the food was coming out in basically the same shape as when I ate it.
Yeah.
But I had no idea on how to, fix that problem.
I'd give digestive enzymes, specifically Vitalzyme, a shot. It might help you out. It might help you with some of your pain, and it would definitely help you out with your digestion. There's no doubt about that. It will help you with your digestion.
All righty, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. What's this thing called probiotic complex? Dealing with one of the things that you're discussing?
Probiotics are anytime that you get sick nowadays, right, doctors prescribe you antibiotics, which basically kills all the bacteria in your system. You get an infection, they give you antibiotics that kill all of the good and the bad in your system. It's kind of like chemotherapy. Antibiotics kill all the bacteria. Well, your gut, your stomach is populated with about two-thirds good bacteria, which are probiotics. The probiotics in your gut, the good bacteria, are what digest the food, too. So the enzymes are a little bit separate than that, but they're both doing the same thing. They're helping you to digest, and those good probiotics, the good bacteria in your system, need to be replenished, especially if you've done round after round of antibiotic when you're younger, so that you can properly digest your food.
And then there's this thing, there's something called flora as well?
Yeah, flora are also what you would think of as good bacteria. The flora are bacteria in your system. They're good bacteria. The best brand of probiotics that I know of are Natren, N-A-T-R-E-N. They sell the best. Now, they're expensive, but they are by far the best probiotics that you can take.
Yeah, I'm actually holding one, a 365 brand, which is Whole Foods version of it.
Whole Foods has a good brand of things, yeah.
Some of the other things I've been looking at is some things like Podiarco and black walnut to deal with cleansing out the system. But, full-on detox or little mini fast or eating fruit-only fast I think is good. I haven't done it. That's just because I haven't set aside the time to do it. But I think it is important to do that.
The black walnut that you mentioned, that's great for parasites, you know, because we all have parasites in our system. The black walnut cleanses you from parasites. But, yeah, fast. My wife and I have done a couple fasts together, and we have we've gone, you know, 10, 14 days where we just drink juice and no solid foods. And so what that allows you to do, what that allows your system to do is to really detox all of the sludge that you have in your colon and your intestines. And so you not only do the juice fast where you're drinking, you know, fresh squeezed juice, you know, all day long, but you're not taking any solids, but you're also taking in herbs that kind of go into your gut and on the walls of your colon, and they kind of, you would think of it, they kind of scrape the plaque off the your insides, and you eliminate it. And, you know, it's funny.
Ah, got it.
It's kind of gross, but, you know, after you've done a fast, you've been going, let's say, 10 days without food, and you're still, your bowel movements, you've still got solids coming out. Well, that should tell you that they're not from something you ate recently. There's something that's coming out because they've been stuck in there for days or months or years. And so after you've gone a couple weeks without food and you're still getting rid of solid waste, then you know you're doing some good with these juice fasts, because you're getting rid of a lot of toxic sludge that's been built up on the walls of your colon.
Okay, Ty, we need you for one more segment, so let's do this. Explain where someone starts with this, starting with the detox. Let's recap on this after the break, where it began, saying, okay, we're going to do a detox here that's juice-based. You're talking about no food for a period of 10 days?
Yeah, 10 days to 14 days is a pretty good general rule. If you can't do it, then do less. Whatever you can do will help.
Okay, and I had heard something yesterday that there's some sort of a drink, and maybe that's what you're talking about, that does some of the additional cleaning or the plaque off the inside of your digestive tract. And some, I think it was some sort of a pepper, like I'm not sure what kind of a pepper it was, but
okay.
Go ahead and clue us in on what that is right after the break.
Sure.
Great host, great topics, free speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.
I didn't wake up today and think I was going to get all excited about talking about detoxification. However, at this point in the game, knowing how many toxins are out there, it's looking more interesting by the day. It looks more important by the day to be a little bit more responsible about our digestive system. Not only the food going in our body, but, you know, what's going inside, the process going on inside of our own body and the awareness of it. And I want to ask, Ty, do you think that when going through the fast, you know, one should probably, of course, stay away from laxatives and other things like that because of the chemicals involved in some of those?
Yeah, you know, no, not necessarily. And real quick, my website's cancertruth.net. In case people are listening and want to get to the website, cancertruth.net. And the book is Cancer Step Outside the Box. I've got a full chapter devoted in the book to a detox protocol. So it outlines every step and every different protocol you need to use, every different organ that you need to detox. And so, number one,
earlier, you probably want to make.
Go ahead.
Hey, Ty, we're going to have to briefly reconnect.
Okay,
give us
you
about
there?
30 seconds or so. Yeah, maybe we should. Are we clear? I think we were breaking up there.
I can hear
okay,
you.
So
can hear you now?
you're talking about a 10. Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
You're talking about a 10 to 14 day detox then. No food, water with juice. And then we probably want to make sure that juice is organic if possible.
Absolutely. Organic juice. You don't want to get hungry. You want to drink juice until you're full. And so you drink juice, you sip on juice all day long. But you also, you'd asked about a laxative. You want to include laxatives, but not the kind of laxatives that you're thinking of, not the laxatives that you buy over the counter. You want to include colon cleanse type herbs that you can buy. The best one that you can get is called Aloe-Ease. You can get that at newvitality.com, Aloe-Ease. And it contains, you were talking about a pepper, it contains a lot of cayenne pepper, but it also contains cascara bark, psyllium husk, and about 20 or 30 other herbs that actually go into your colon as you're doing this. And so there's no food in your colon. It's just juice. So these herbs have a chance to get into your colon and go scrape the walls of your colon and get all that toxic sludge out of there, and you eliminate it. So you definitely, it would do you good to do a juice fast without this stuff, but it would do you 10 times more good to do it with it, because the goal is not just to go 14 days or 10 days without food, but it's to go in there and to get this sludge off of your insides, out of your insides, out of your body to detox. And so you're going to do that. You're going to need to supplement with one of these products that contains these herbs. They will go in and do that for you in your colon.
All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And moving on from that, some of the foods that we need to be looking at. I've heard a lot of things about blueberries. Again, we were talking about grape seeds. Can you go over some of the things that you're aware of, just as a refresher for some of us?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically I try not to get hung up on as much the specific fruits and vegetables as to say get as many organic fruits and vegetables as you can. Blueberries are great. There's a lot of ingredients in blueberries that fight cancer. They also fight pain. Cherries are great for arthritis. The skins of cherries are great for arthritis. Grapes are great. The grape seeds are good. The grape skins are awesome. Apricot pits, peach pits, apple seeds, they contain vitamin B17 that kills cancer cells. But the list is endless. I mean, the main thing to try to do is not to get hung up on as much as should I be eating blueberries or raspberries, but let's go get as organic as you possibly can, get as raw as you possibly can, and then try to limit your intake of processed foods, sodas, sugar. That's one thing I haven't mentioned that I should have mentioned is sugar. Cancer cells, because they are anaerobic, they ferment sugar to produce energy. So if you can eliminate sugar from your diet, if you're a cancer patient, you've just eliminated the source of food for your cancer cells, and they're going to die. So don't take sugar. When an oncologist talks to someone that has cancer and they tell them, you know, the cancer patient is suffering from cachexia, which is basically wasting away, and they tell that cancer patient to go eat ice cream and cake and whatever else they can to put on the weight, they're just really...
Well, there you go. That's a scary area for a lot of Americans. You're saying that sugar is fuel for cancer.
Yes.
That's something that a lot of people cringing out there listening right now, or they're thinking about that ice cream they ate that last night, or the other indulgence in sugar. That's not good news. Change our diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Change your diet. Get rid of sugars. Get rid of sodas. And quit eating trans fats. Eat extra virgin olive oil. Eat extra virgin coconut oil. Those are great oils for you. Stay away from the hydrogenated corn oils and all the other oils that are out there. And stay away from fried foods, because the fried foods are not only bad because they make you fat, but they're bad because they contain the trans fats, the hydrogenated oils that cause your cells to turn cancerous.
Well, tell us again your website. And how people can get your book.
Yeah, website is cancertruth.net, www.cancertruth.net. And the book is Cancer Step Outside the Box. And you just go to cancertruth.net and click the purchase page, and it'll take you to a link where you can either purchase the ebook download, or you can go to Amazon and purchase the hard copy there. And one thing, let me throw in real quick, before we get off here, let me take 20 seconds. With the way that we're being pelted with heavy metals in the air from the chemtrails, it's very important to detox, heavy metal detox. It's called chelation, C-H-E-L-A-T-I-O-N, chelation therapy. You need EDTA. Take EDTA. You can go out and do a search. A million people sell it. But get some EDTA and do a heavy metal detox, because you need to get rid of the heavy metals that you're getting daily from the chemtrails in the air, which have aerosol and barium in them, as well as the heavy metals that you have that you have from your mercury fillings in your mouth and so on.
Yeah, the mercury fillings in the mouth. I've got that, and what you're saying about the heavy metal detox is important. Should probably people separate that from the other detox, or combine them?
Yeah, I would do them separately, because it wears you. Number one, it wears you doing a fast, and so you want to kind of concentrate on that. And then after that, you can do a heavy metal detox. And once you've done about a 30-day intensive heavy metal detox, then you can just go on maintenance doses. But I would recommend that. It's very important. My wife and I just started doing heavy metal detoxes, because we're all breathing heavy metals. Whether you believe it or not, we are. We're all breathing them every day from the aerosol spray.
All right. Well, then to follow up with that question, how often should someone do a heavy metal detox, seeing as that this brain continues and doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon? Every six months, every couple months?
Yeah, I would do an intensive one twice a year for about a month, where you take about triple the normal dose, and then you go back in between and you just take maintenance-type doses. So for I think it probably costs you about between $30 and $40 a month to do a maintenance on the EDTA chelation-type therapies to get rid of your heavy metals. Very important. If you can't afford that, one thing that really does well with chelation is cilantro. Go to your grocery store, get cilantro, put it in a blender and blend it up with water, and you drink it. Doesn't sound great, but cilantro binds to heavy metals, and it eliminates them from your system. So you don't necessarily have to go out and buy the supplement EDTA. You can do cilantro. Chlorella is also an excellent chelating agent, which will get the heavy metals out of your system.
How about some of the green superfoods, too, that are out there? There are some that, you know, you try them and, it was okay. And then there's some that you try that they definitely give you a boost. There's a couple that I've tried, or one in particular, that you definitely realize that you drank something that gives you an energizing feeling that you're not used to getting from, you know, every day, wake up and eat cereal and oatmeal and go on to the rest of the day without that heart shot of green in you.
Yeah, are you talking about Interfood?
Not Interfood. I actually don't have the brand name in my head right now. I haven't tried Interfood yet. Have you?
Yeah, I've used Interfood. It's really good. Interfood's good. There's a lot of Living Fuel has a great one. It's called Perfect Food. There's several really good superfoods out there. The main thing that you remember about superfoods is as long as you pick one of the top 5 or 10, you're going to get a pretty good product because they all are going to contain chlorella, spirulina, and they're also going to contain whole foods. And so it's almost like you're drinking a meal, but you're also getting these agents in there that are detox agents for heavy metals. So that's why they're so good. They're food, but they're also going to help you detox the heavy metals out of your system. But Interfood's really good. Perfect Food's really good. Garden of Life, I think, puts out a really good one. I can't think of the name of that one. But there's several really good. Just make sure that the ingredients that you have in them are organic ingredients.
It brings to mind the image of the plant growing through the concrete in the ground in the way that it does in nature, in the way that it could in some of these bottles. Deal with those heavy metals. There is this relationship, I think, in nature between plants and certain ones popping up, like plantain, for example, around a lot of human activity. It's kind of like the Earth's therapeutic coping mechanism of trying to heal itself from the wounds.
Man, I tell you what, you hit the nail on the head there, man. If we can eat a more plant-based diet, we are going to help. We are going to heal ourselves, and that's the key today. Is you really got to watch your diet. We're poisoning ourselves every day, and my wife and I, we've got 3 children. And wonderful kids. And sometimes as a parent, you want to say, hey, let's take them down to McDonald's and let's get them a burger and fries and an ice cream because, man, it's just so exciting to see them because they love the food so much and it's just so exciting to help them to enjoy a meal. But you know what, man, it's poison. Don't do it.
Well, Ty, thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate it, Alex. I've enjoyed it today. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yeah, we will do that. And, on the topic of, all the apprehension and fear about the economic meltdown, let me say this. When things come to a standstill and people's lifestyles change, their thoughts are going to change incrementally. Can you imagine? I mean, all these little products that depend on these pesticides and these other chemicals and these other things that help them, maintain their form, like formaldehyde in the clothing, so we can get from China to here. Imagine the effect on our minds from everything coming from our local backyards. We could be living that reality in the near future. And it seems that if we're going to really deal with cancer and other forms of disease, we have to change the way we live. And we'll pick up on that subject and many more along with the news on the next program.